Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining Jewish Stories and More. Today, I heard a beautiful idea from my friend, Rabbi Yosef Alt, and I'm going to present it to you as a story. This is a story about Yosef HaTzadik, the special son of Yaakov Avinu. Yosef HaTzadik was sold by his brothers into slavery because they hated him, because they saw that their father Yaakov favored him. Of course, it's not so simple, like everything in the Torah. There was good reason why Yosef was the special son. He was destined to be the ruler over the entire Jewish people and really virtually the entire world. And it's true that the brothers thought that Yehuda should really be the ruler, and someday he would be. Obviously, Mashiach comes from Yehuda, but at that time, Yosef temporarily was the leader of the Jewish people, destined to be, and therefore he was favored. That's a very simple explanation of it. But in any case, he was sold to slavery in Egypt. He eventually became a very important person in Egypt. But in the meantime, he was in charge of the house of Potiphar, who was a high-ranking officer of Paro. And as the person in charge of not just the house, the physical house, but the entire state, the entire property, all of the doings of Potiphar, who was a major powerful figure in Egypt, not as powerful as Paro, of course, but he was a major officer of Paro, and everything was left up to Yosef to be in charge of, except for Paro's wife, Mrs. Potiphar. But Mrs. Potiphar was told by astrologers, by people that tried to see into the future, they couldn't really see into the future, but they could see somewhat into the future, that she was under the impression that she would have descendants with Yosef. Now, she was correct. There were eventually descendants of Yosef, but not that she was supposed to marry Yosef, but her daughter actually married Yosef. So she had some inkling of the future. She didn't have exactly correct, but because of that, she thought that she should try to get Yosef to marry her. Now, she was already married to somebody, and it's not permitted if you're already married to somebody to marry somebody else, obviously. Somebody for a wife to marry a second husband when she's already married to Potiphar, although she's not Jewish, but nevertheless, she still has the rule. It's seven commandments of the children of Noah. So she tried to get Yosef to be with her, like married people. And it was very, very difficult for Yosef to resist because she was very, very incredibly beautiful. And she had a plan where the two of them were alone in the palace, in the Potiphar's, I don't know if it was exactly a palace, but probably it was a miniature palace, at least somewhat of a palace. And it was a Goyish holiday, it was an idol worship holiday, but he went to worship idols over there by the river. And she said, I'm not feeling well, so I'm going to stay home. Knowing that Yosef, of course, would not go to Davin to Geshkes, to idols, Chas v'Shalom. And so she knew that she'd be alone in the house, basically alone in the house. And she tried to entrap Yosef into being with her. And Yosef was very, 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 very tempted, extremely tempted. It was a very difficult test for him. What saved him? There are two things that saved him. Rashi tells us that he was saved because he pictured the face of his father, Yaakov. Yaakov was at that time not only his father, but also was the leader of the entire generation. He was the third of the patriarchs. Avram obviously led his generation. Yitzchak led his generation. Yaakov led his generation. He was the Rebbe of that time, the Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, of those days. And although he came before Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what saved Yosef, says Rashi, that he pictured his father. He saw a vision of his father. And that gave him the spiritual strength to resist the beautiful Mrs. Potiphar. However, there's another explanation which our sages tell us, and that is that Yosef was let to know that if he would give in to the temptations of Mrs. Potiphar, then his name would not appear among the Shvatim on the special stones of the ephod of the Kohen Gadol. That is a special garment which the Kohen Gadol would wear in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash, which had on it, on the breastplate, perhaps also on the shoulder pieces, the names of all the Shvatim. and Yosef would be excluded. That when the Kohen Gadol would wear these special clothes, he would be wearing the names of the 12 Shvatim carved into the stones. But if Yosef would now sin, if he would give in to the temptation to Mrs. Potiphar, then his name would not appear there. And this is also, our Chacham tell us, a reason why he was able to resist. So I guess we have a positive and a negative reason. We have a positive reason that his father's face appeared to him, the Rebbe of that time, Moshe Rabbeinu of that time, the leader of the generation, the Nasi of the generation, Mashiach of the generation, the potential Mashiach of the generation. Yaakov appeared to him. And then we have the negative reason that he saw that his name would be removed from among the Shvatim. I guess that's why Hashem gives us positive and negative mitzvahs. Very oversimplified explanation, of course. We need both. Each one is special. Doing what Hashem wants is special, and not doing what Hashem doesn't want is special. In any case, this is the story that Yosef, because of these two things, that he saw the vision of his father, he was inspired by his father, the leader of the generation, the tzaddik of the generation, the Mashiach of the generation, as well as knowing that his name would be erased from among the Shvatim if he would give in, so he was able to resist. What does it have to do with us? Obviously, we don't live in Potiphar's palace and have these kinds of temptations, but we have other temptations. There's no question about it. Every single person has temptations to not do the right thing and to do the wrong thing. So what's going to inspire us? So the first explanation that Rashi brings is definitely a beautiful inspiration. That is, picturing the face of the leader of the generation, this is very inspiring for us. And in fact, there's many stories in which the Rebbe actually told people to have a picture of his father-in-law, who was the leader of the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe, and to have pictures of him. And this would inspire people. Of course, we know that the Rebbe's picture inspires us, but there may be other pictures that inspire other people. Your Rosh Yeshiva, your special teacher, your father, your mother, or whatever. I mean, of course, a person has a connection with the leader of the generation. That's very, very outstandingly special. But whoever it is that is your main inspiration in your life, definitely thinking about that person will be an inspiration. Of course, a tzaddik is a different category. If that's the person that inspires you, an actual tzaddik, then that's, of course, a special category. Of course, the person's going to have both. They could have the leader of the generation, the tzaddik of the generation who inspires them, and then their own personal teacher, their own personal mashpia, mentor, can also be very inspiring, no question about it. But in any case, this is one way for us to succeed in our Torah and mitzvahs. The inspiration of the person that inspires us, the leader of the generation, the tzaddik of the generation, our own particular Rosh Yeshiva, or whoever it is that inspires us, could be a number of people, to think about them, to picture their face, their inspiration that they give us, and also to think about the negative side of it, that Yosef knew that he would be removed, his name would be removed from among the Shvatim, and Chas V'Shalom, we don't want to imagine that we're going to be Chas V'Shalom removed, but that we're not living up to who we should be. That's the point. That we are capable of being very, very close to Hashem and fulfilling Torah mitzvahs in a complete way. Everybody can do it. It's within our reach. And therefore, it's important for us to reach that point of succeeding against our Yetzer Hara, our animal soul, and succeeding in learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. And besides our own personal struggle to accomplish it and our own personal victory to accomplish it, it also helps us to win the victory of the war right now. This is really the main thing. And that is to win the war against our enemies. And that comes through, of course, well-trained soldiers doing what they're supposed to do. But we're also well-trained soldiers. We have been trained in Torah and mitzvahs, or we're being trained now in Torah and mitzvahs. And therefore, our learning of Torah, our doing of mitzvahs, helps to win the war against our enemies, literally helps us to win the war. Just like in the story of Purim, that the study of the 22,000 children, when they were studying Torah with Mordechai, this helped to win the war against Haman. May it happen quickly through our Torah mitzvahs, increasing in Torah mitzvahs, increasing in good acts of goodness and kindness, be more careful in all of our mitzvahs, positive mitzvahs and negative mitzvahs, and this way quickly bring a complete and total victory and quick victory to our soldiers, our brave soldiers in Eretz Yisrael. And this will bring, God willing, directly to the Mashiach and the Geula. May it happen immediately. Thank you so much for joining Jewish Stories and More. And especially thank you, much more so, to your learning of Torah and doing a mitzvah, which is really bringing the Geula. May it happen immediately. Thank you for joining Jewish Stories and More.